It is 6:15 on Taking Care of Business on Rise FM. You are with Zingisa Chira and Wandile Mazibugo. Now, the administrator of Lekwa Municipality, Johan Metla, joins us on the line yet again this evening as we continue our series on the Lekwa Local Municipality's 2021-2022 Integrated Development Plan and Budget. Now, remember to go to the Lekwa Local Municipality Facebook page to read through the IDP plan and get a better understanding of the projected plans themselves. And if you want to be part of the conversation after going through this particular plan, you can send through a WhatsApp on 072-885-7702. That's 072-885-7702. Or tweet us on @RiseFM943. Or you can even join our discussion on our Facebook page, which is @RiseFM943. Now, before we delve into the matter at hand, welcome back, Johan.
Thank you very much. Of course, it's good to be back, but I'm very happy to be back. I was busy yesterday in the field trying to get water tankers to fill up at Tutukani. So I was busy the entire day with water, and I suppose there will be a question about that, but I can report that we are now at the tail end, thank goodness. We are busy fixing the pipe right now, and by 12 o'clock tonight we should be pumping water into the system, so at least you should be able to take a shower tomorrow morning.
Now, Johan, you know, let's just jump straight into some of the listener questions. I think the first one, this particular listener says he's not interested in the IDP, which is interesting, but wants to know more about service delivery and whether employees at Lekwa have performance management, and how are they then getting based? But I mean, for me, I think this would tie into the IDP and service delivery.
That is quite correct. It absolutely ties in to the IDP. Just like building a house, you have to have a plan. If you've ever tried building a house without a plan, you're probably not sane. So there has to be a plan.
Yeah,
that plan has to be backed by a credible budget. Otherwise, you know, it's also pointless. But where I agree with the caller is that an important part of the execution of that strategy is to have organizational structure and to have people there that can do the job and whose job performance must be monitored. That is critical. So, but it's all part of the plan. So you will find that your performance plans, which to the actual plan, to the actual delivery plan that you would then put up. So, for example, part of the documentation that would go in with the integrated development plan is what we call a service delivery and budget implementation plan. So it's a fairly straightforward term, right? Service delivery, budget implementation. And that shows you by quarter what it is that you need to achieve. And there's funding for that. It because you're now implementing the budget. So it has funding, but people, who's responsible for it? So that immediately put a performance plan on the table. And then obviously, when you monitor that plan, you do it in terms of a system, a performance management system, to ensure that you can pick up when the performance is slacking, so that you can then take corrective action. And that we do then, or that a municipality, I should not say we, a municipality should then do that on a regular basis. Certainly where I'm from, you would look at that plan on a quarterly basis as a senior manager. At a lower down, they would look at the execution of the plan on a monthly basis when they sign off their monthly reports. So performance management is an inherent part of delivery, of service delivery. Without that, you won't get it. What has happened, though, and here I want to agree with a caller. What has happened here is that there has not been that management of performance.
Yeah.
That is why if you look at what the Auditor General has said with regard to performance management and the level of of performance was way below the required levels. It's actually pathetic. So that shows that there was a serious management and oversight problem in the municipality. So I want to agree with the caller on that end, but on the other hand, I also disagree that performance management is actually part of the system. So part of the job that we have to do is to, in fact, fix that, make sure that the organizational structure and that the plans are talking to the plan that we are now going to that we are going to adopt, and to put measures and systems and processes in place to track performance. And that is very clear when you look at my terms of reference that was gazetted. That is part of my job that I have to do, and that is what I also have to report on.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, Johan, you know, somebody, it's actually quite interesting, and maybe it's a similar question to the one that was asked before, but they're asking, like, don't you think that you are getting sabotaged? Because, and the reason why they say this is that we, and obviously meaning them as residents of Liqua, have never waited this long for a water leak. And also they're basically saying, what action will be taken against non-performing managers? Obviously, that would include the employees as well in the Liqua municipality. And also, they want to know, are you going to be consider maybe doing a skill assessment on all the municipality employees? And basically, that's gist of the question. So they want to know, yes, is there going to be accountability that's going to be taken? Yes. And do you feel that you've been currently sabotaged?
Yes. I've received an email, just by the way. By the way, I'm sitting in front of my computer answering emails. I'm currently responding to Mr. Sean Felt, and I've just responded to Mr. Shaw and Mr. Trele.
Mm-hmm.
So, with my email being public knowledge, I suspect I'm not going to sleep. Similar question was asked.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that we're being sabotaged?
Yeah.
I cannot rule out that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly my response. I can't rule it out. I have my suspicions, but, you know, I need to have firm evidence to that effect.
Yeah.
And once I have firm evidence to that effect, you can rest assured I will take action. I can give you one example that happened. It was in my presence, but I got the report. There was a certain member of staff that wanted to stop the trucks, water trucks from being filled.
Mm.
And I have every intention of acting against that person, and you will see what my actions in that regard very soon.
Mm.
So there will be consequences. I want to be very clear about that.
Mm.
Absolutely, there will be consequences. People will be made examples of, and I'm not going to step back or be intimidated by anybody that holds a different view. So, yes, it is possible, but I'm waiting on the facts.
Yeah.
When it comes to the skills audit,
yes,
there will absolutely be a skills audit.
Yeah.
You know, there is no other way of looking at an organization whether it is capable of performing in terms of the plan than looking at the skills that are within the organization.
100%.
Because it's pointless to have a plan,
mm-hmm.
right? It's pointless to enter into the Belgian Grand Prix and you use your 1987 Golf. And you think that you are going to do this thing?
Yeah.
You actually need to be sure that that Golf has somewhere in there some turbo boosted 12 cylinder engine that can actually do the trick. So I mean, that was a stupid example. It was silly, but it kind of makes the point.
Yeah.
So we have to look at the skills of people. I know that it's possible, and I've heard it. I haven't seen it. You know, that people were just appointed left, right, and center, that don't necessarily have the skills. We will have to see. And then we will have to deal with that in terms of our policies. You know, one must try and see whether you can train people and so on, whether they can do the job. It is possible. But certainly part of any restructuring in that way is does would have to then take into account skills. If you look at my terms of reference, you will see organizational review and restructuring as a very clear matter that I have to look at. Skills audit certainly is part of that plan.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, Johan, we are in the middle of a pandemic, and I think the next question just obviously touches on the health sector. And the listener is basically saying, can the hospital also have their own electricity line? As it came to their attention that they are also off, especially in the Standerton area. So the follow-up would be then, is the IDP looking into moving power supply for the hospital to a more reliable line or providing a generator perhaps?
Yes. This particular IDP does not. And there's a very good reason for that. Not that there's anything against the hospital. Of course, the hospital must have a steady and predictable supply of electricity, as would any other business or enterprise. But especially because it is a health institution.
Yeah.
What we have to do and what we are planning on doing in the very short term is to ensure that we don't have lake wash shedding. Because I think that is where the problem starts.
Yeah.
If we can deal with lake wash shedding, and I'm sorry, I've now adopted that term.
I hear that, Johan.
yes, no, and it makes the point, actually.
Mm.
So if we can deal with lake wash shedding, we would have dealt with major motivation for the idea that various institutions should have a dedicated line.
Mm. Yeah.
We are, in fact, meeting with Eskom tomorrow, and we have on our agenda a range of things. But the purpose, the broad purpose of that meeting is to get a relationship between the municipality and Eskom, in terms of which we act as partners and not as adversaries, as has been the case in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that because we are doing the same thing, you know, we exist partly to provide electricity. Eskom exists solely to provide electricity, and they both go to communities.
Mm-hmm.
So we are basically in the same business. The closer we can work together, the closer they can come to trust us, you know, that we are not just there to use electricity and not pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner we can sit on the table and say, and we say to them, this is how we want to deal with this issue. This is where you think you can assist us. And this is what we will do in order to take care of all of the outstanding matters between us. Mm-hmm. Then I think we are in a much better space than what we were even a few days ago.
Yeah.
So I am very confident that with the team that I have and the kind of work that we have done up to now, and what I know that we are capable of, also in terms of raising revenue internally, that we can make out a very good case to Eskom to say, listen, this is what we can bring to the party. We would like it if you can bring something else to the party, and we put in motion a plan that will really be to the benefit of all of the residents and institutions and businesses within Lekwa. Mm-hmm. That is the purpose of tomorrow's exercise, and I'm confident I can tell you that.
It is Taking Care of Business on Rise FM, talking to Lekwa Municipalities Administrator Johan Mettler on the municipality's integrated development plan and budget consultation. We have a WhatsApp message from one of our listeners, and if you want to join the conversation, you can send through your very own WhatsApp on 072-885-7702 or tweet us on at Rise FM 943. But for now, let's take a quick listen.
Now at the very end, thank goodness.
Yeah.
We
Good evening, Zimiso. Okay, the administrators already said about this water, because children now are not attending schools because of this water crisis. What plan are they doing there? Because we know that one of the companies has donated and buy the pipe so that the crisis can be fixed. Can they please fix this crisis? We never received trucks. Those trucks, they dispatched to go to every ward. Those trucks never arrived. Amen. It's Ruben from Standard in Lekwa.
Johan, I gathered you caught that question.
No. You're going to have to just give it to me. I could hardly hear it. I'm sorry.
So I think it goes back to the water situation with obviously learners having to stay at home because of the lack of water. And also there are allegations that while there were donations of water and also there were instructions for some employees to deliver water to certain wards, the water in fact never did arrive.
Yes.
So they're just trying to...
Yes. Okay. I think the first thing, you know, that I have to say is that I'm pretty sorry that the water trucks that we had, and we had extra water trucks coming from other municipalities, that they could not reach all of the areas. That is so. We had about 7 to 8 active water trucks going around, and you know, because of the dire need in many communities, when we sent trucks to go to particular points like a school or a clinic or a hospital, because of the need, people have tended to stop the trucks as soon as they enter the particular area, and they would demand to have water. Now I have, I completely understand that, and I certainly cannot hold that against anybody. So we have tried our level best to, and we were working according to a schedule to send trucks, and you know, in some cases we succeeded for the trucks to get where they were supposed to go. In other cases, not. There was a gentleman that emailed me, Mr. Kele, and he was in Mayaville. He is in Mayaville. And he was bitterly upset, you know, that area was left out. And it was simply just the case, as I explained to him, that that the need was absolutely overwhelming. You know, water trucks are therefore an acute emergency. So it's a small area. There was there was some other problem. And then you send water trucks. Water trucks are not, have never, can never replace a fully functional water distribution system. That is simply impossible, because that means that one must have at the ready something like 100 water trucks, you know, to give that kind of, or to deliver that amount of water. It's simply not possible. So we managed during the course of the day and yesterday and the day before to actually send water trucks, but for the reasons I've mentioned, they simply could not get to all the areas because people were in dire need and did what they did.
Yeah, and Johan, I think obviously the next listener question refers to what you would have been speaking about in our previous interaction on Tuesday. And the listener's basically saying, no, Mr. Johan, I don't believe you when you say the municipality is understaffed. What about all these people that we see standing around the whole day? Please have a relook at the capacity. So will the municipality have a look at that, at maybe capacity?
Yes, of course. No, we must have a look at our capacity. But I can tell you, as a matter of fact, this municipality is understaffed. Especially in the technical services, water, electricity, and sanitation, even the refuse removal. So as far as workers, I'm not talking about managers. You know, I'm not talking about the first three or four levels. But then as far as the workers are concerned, I've seen the numbers. I've seen the impact thereof. It's in the overtime stats and so on. So we are understaffed. And I appreciate, you know, when people say that, you know, we see people just standing around and doing nothing. But on the other hand, you don't see all 500 of them standing around doing nothing.
Yeah.
So we might just guard against, you know, making one scenario the absolute rule, because it's not quite correct. But I can understand the frustration, you know, that comes up. So certainly, part of the review is then to look at the numbers. You know, do we have adequate posts, or do we have the posts on the organogram that we need? Mm. And then, of course, you don't fill all of the posts all at once. You know, the filling of the organogram is something that takes place over a number of years. And it is determined by service delivery priorities and, of course, available funding.
Mm.
So all of that will then guide us in terms of where we fall and so on. Sometimes it's also impossible. It's also important to have managers, because as I've told you before, it is the lack of management, of competent management, that create the problem.
Mm.
So you need skilled people at management level that will determine where and how maintenance, for example, must happen. That's critically important, because if nobody bothers and everyone thinks, you know, we might just turn open the tap and there will be water, you're making a big mistake. So, yes, there are also important management posts that would need to be filled, but it would absolutely be based on priority and the availability of funding.
Mm. Now, Johan, as we wrap up our conversation for this evening, it seems today was all about water for the most part. This listener would like to know that when are pump stations going to be replaced or fixed? It seems raw sewage continues to run into the Vaal River because, and I hope I'm pronouncing this properly, of the Tal Yard pump station, amongst others, that are not working.
Yes.
So I'm guessing is the upgrading of pump stations part of the ID plan? And do we have any projected timeframes?
Yes, though there are refurbishment work that is scheduled for the pump station, both the water treatment pump station, that's for the production of drinking water, and of course the wastewater treatment.
Yeah.
So there's a particular slide that look at the funding over 3 years. That's another thing. It's called the capital expenditure. For 2021-22, and then for the following 2 years. So there it will be very clearly stated which of those treatment works would be refurbished. But let me also just add, because I also don't want to mislead anybody.
Mm-hmm.
When we refurbish, I'm not saying that we are going to completely rebuild put a pump station there that is second to none. That is billions. That you don't do. That we can't do. We simply don't have the funds for it. The funds that we are getting are grant funding from the municipal infrastructure grant. So it's about 5 million this year, if I remember offhand, and then maybe 6 million the next year and 5 million again the next year for a wastewater treatment plan. That's not to do with sanitation and so on, so that we don't store. But the problem that we have, as I've indicated in the very first engagement, is massive.
Yeah.
Massive. There are pump stations that are simply not working. They've stopped.
Mm.
Right? Because we've allowed them to decay to the extent that they simply can't work. Now, there you need major refurbishment. So whilst we are doing what we can, part of what I would need to do with my colleagues at National Treasury and the Water and Sanitation Department is to find extra funding.
Mm.
But the only way that you can find extra funding is if you spend that which you already have. Because you can't ask for extra funding, but you are completely incapable of spending the little that you have.
Yeah.
So certainly within this year, part of the plan is that we have procurement plans. We didn't have it before. In other words, how are you going to spend this money? So we follow those plans, and when we do it properly for this next financial year, we should be in a position where we would qualify for additional funding. But that is that will come at a push, and I will make sure that I push with all my might. We've got support from the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency that will assist with a rollout and monitoring of infrastructure projects. So that's one way of making sure that we have additional funding, that we have projects that are ready to be rolled out, so that we can in fact deal with these matters. So, so it's a lot of hard work ahead, a lot of pain, as I told some of my colleagues, that they're going to have to manage like they've never managed in their lives before. But I'll be ready to keep a close eye.
No. Now, Johan, I think we've come to the end of our interview today. And again, I just want to remind everybody that Johan will be back with us on Monday. For those of you that we didn't get an opportunity to be able to read out some of your questions or actually play some of your voice notes, we'll definitely make a note of it. And when Johan comes back on Monday, we'll be able to obviously put some of those questions through to Johan. So Johan, thank you again for availing the time. I think there's a lot of interest in as far as Lekwa Municipality is concerned and some of the challenges that are faced. And I think what one appreciates as a resident of Mpumalanga is the transparency that you guys have shown in being able to come and answer some of the questions that many, many residents in Lekwa and many residents obviously in the Mpumalanga province would have had for you. So thank you very much, Johan, and good evening.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to Monday.
Okay.
Goodbye.
And that was Lekwa Municipality's Administrator Johan Mettler on the municipality's Integrated Development Plan and Budget Consultation Program, also answering multiple questions from the, should I say, residents of Lekwa Municipality. And ngiyabona asangena or isangena milayeto, we will harvest these messages, we will keep them, and when Johan returns on Monday, we will continue where we left off. Every question will be asked. Johan will be with us next week, so from Monday to Thursday, between 6 and 7, he will be back.